Can you hear us all right, Austin?
Yes, sir.
All right. We are joined by today's winner of the UNOH 188 at Daytona, Austin Cindric, driver of the number 22 Moneyline Ford for Team Penske. Austin, tell us how you were able to put that car in victory lane today.
Yeah, obviously it was a lot of survival there at the end. You know, that's what makes these races as difficult as they are is to make it to the finish. So obviously we were a contender all day and tried to get a race car a little better. And obviously had to fight through in that second stage to try and regain some track position. Yeah, just a solid day really up until that point. Obviously being on the bottom on that restart, I felt like I'd made enough mistakes trying to come through the field, you know, diving three wide to the outside, knowing that there was a pretty big grip limitation trying to do that. So I saw it coming, but I was surprised that I did it too, to be 100% honest. So that obviously was kind of the catalyst for us today and put us in a great spot to be able to execute on a restart and come away with a win.
Okay, we'll go ahead to the media with questions here. First up, we'll go to Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Austin, last week you were a little bit emotional or talking about the Road America win and what winning at that track meant. I'm curious what you're feeling and emotions about winning the stock car race on Daytona Road Course.
Yeah, I probably need to give myself a day or so to calm down. You know, I'm not 100% proud of my race, so it makes me apprehensive about being super excited. You know, I'm pretty hard on myself and usually don't need too many people telling me what I've done wrong because I've probably already thought about it, but or at least beat myself up over it. So there are plenty of things I could have cleaned up today, but you know, if I take a step back and rewind a couple months ago, I worked really hard, as I do every year, to try and get a ride for the Daytona 24. And it was the first time in 3 years I hadn't gotten a ride for the Daytona 24. So I ended up staying for the race and spotting the race, which was a great motivator to get a drive the next year. So that was kind of a low point for me earlier in the year, not to be able to get that to go together. And it doesn't play your way. It's hard to do it in a series where you don't run full time. But that was a bummer for me. So to be able to come to this track and be able to do that is a big check in the box for me. You know, something that would make this year really special and my time at Daytona really special is if we were to come back here and in a couple weeks' time and be able to win on the Super Speedway. You know, that would be special because that would mean I would have run on the road course, the Super Speedway, and in a rallycross car here when they ran rallycross. So I think that would be really cool for me as far as driving different things at Daytona and kind of add to my versatility, if you will. But, I think that's probably what makes today special.
And you talked about not doing stuff that maybe you look back and not be happy about. I'm curious how you look back at throwing the water bottle at Briscoe between the two stages.
Well, I mean, that's a double downer because I didn't even make it in the window, so didn't even execute on that. So you know, it's tough. I mean, I got pretty heated there, and I probably should have reeled myself in. You know, that's probably the biggest thing. I'm not very happy about with myself today. You know, I let that get to me, and obviously it showed. But I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very passionate about driving, and it's been a while since I've had a heart on my sleeve moment like that. So probably a good lesson for me halfway through the year to know that I still got some work to do up here, and that's where it counts. So I'll read that in and use it as a learning experience, and hopefully the two of us can learn a little better from that end of stage two.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next up, we'll go to Adam Shadoff. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Austin. I'm just wondering, as you won the race, I looked at your pit crew, and some of them just started packing it up right away as if it were old hat. Is this getting old hat for you, winning so often like this?
I don't know. I obviously, those guys work extremely hard. So obviously I was way more excited after Kentucky than I was after today, but I feel like it's very, very difficult in all three series to win these races. And for me right now, I'm already thinking about Dover. You know, I'm thinking about the things I could have done better today. That's what makes racing and NASCAR so exciting and so challenging, is that you have to prepare immediately for the next week, so at least to be the best you have to. So that's what I'm focused on. Like I said, I'm not extremely impressed with everything that I did today. So, but I don't think that should take away from obviously, you know, we got the fastest lap of the race. So we should be able to start on pole at Dover, somewhere where I really love going to race. So I'm really motivated to make that a great weekend as well. Obviously, you know, having some stats this year to be compared to Richard Petty and compared to Sam Ard, that's pretty cool. And it's pretty cool for the guys that get to work on my cars. And I wouldn't be here without them. And it makes me very motivated whenever I show up to the track that I know that those guys have done their best and they know that I'm doing my best.
Okay, next up we'll go to Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Is there any plans to talk to any of your Cup teammates and give them advice about how to navigate this road course?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be learned as far as with the setup of the cars. You know, learn from things we did right today, learn from things that we didn't do right today. Hopefully that's able to transfer over and help those guys. I've been pretty open book to whatever I can do to help that group, whether if it's this weekend or any other weekend. You know, I talked to Joey for a good bit last week about, you know, things that I feel about this racetrack, and I feel like you see a lot of those guys doing their homework for this weekend, because, you know, it is a big challenge for teams and drivers and crews alike.
Is there anything particular about navigating the track that you would tell them after experiencing it today in a stock car?
I was surprised. Honestly, I've got bad perspective because I've driven some really incredible race cars here as far as, you know, prototype machinery and top tier GT cars. this thing drove terrible in comparison between, you know, being able to navigate the infield. It was a lot of fun to go through the bus stop. You know, I was fully expecting the bus stop to be the most fun portion of the racetrack for me, because although the race, I mean, talking to Noah, he said his watch was on recording the race for almost three, four hours. So, I mean, that's the longest stint that I've ever done at the Daytona 24. So, you know, your stint length is probably about the same length as what I've done here. But you don't have to worry about saving brakes, saving fuel, saving your splitter, saving your equipment. You know, you can go all out in the bus stop, and you know that's somewhere where you have to be pretty conservative in the 24 hours. So that was really fun for me to do today, and kind of feel the limits of that and drive these big heavy cars and try to make them work.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, next up we'll go to Zach Miskevich. Go ahead, Zach.
Austin, you know, do you like the idea of racing on a course that many people haven't raced or seen before, and you guys as a field are kind of learning as you go on this road course?
I definitely think it's a challenge. You know, there's a little bit that you feel like you want to develop things a little better, because you can get in this scenario where you could have a simple issue that completely ruins your day. That's what makes starting these races with no practice or qualifying or really any hot laps very challenging. So it's a big burden on the teams, and you know, fingers crossed. I mean, my guys have done an incredible job at doing that. Most of the field really has across all three series. But it's a fun challenge. You know, I've never been a stranger to doing that. You know, I look back, you know, I've obviously ran a bunch of laps here, so I could say that I kind of knew what I was getting into, or maybe a little bit more than some of the regulars. But when I raced rallycross back in 2015, I was the points leader heading into the Detroit race, and I just come from Lime Rock, where I was racing Mustangs, and I missed practice, I missed qualifying, and they had a problem with the jump in qualifying. They had a big wooden ramp, not to go on a tangent here, but they had a big wooden ramp, it was all screwed up, and they had to cancel qualifying, so they started on owner's points, and I was on pole, and I showed up right before my heat race, and there was no sighting laps or whatever, so it's literally just a standing start, and you go. And that was probably one of the most intense moments of my life, you know, getting a standing start and just figuring the track out when you can. So I'll always remember that about that race, and it can always be more difficult. You know, at least you get some pace laps to figure it out, but it's a fun challenge, and I think it shows the talent of the drivers in NASCAR.
Next up, we'll go to Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Austin. Just kind of curious, you're sitting there, you're going through the last stage. They come over the radio, they say, Chase Briscoe's done. Then they come over the radio and they say, AJ Allmendinger's damaged. What's going through your mind? Are you kind of, is it easier to see the finish line at that point?
You know, I think that was probably the first thought that crossed my mind. I was like, man, those guys are out. You know, this should be smooth sailing. But, man, nothing is guaranteed. These races are so hard to win. I mean, you saw Brandon Jones be able to put in a great drive the last couple laps to finish second there. So, you know, you have to push 100%. And you got to remind yourself that constantly. Never to underestimate your competition. You can get yourself in a real hole if you don't respect the guys that you're racing. And I have a great deal of respect for the guys that I've been racing, because a lot of them I've been racing a lot of my career, and I know what they're capable of. And it's fun to be in a series that way. You know, I wish, you know, between the 98, the 16, and myself, we would have been able to be able to race that one out for the win, because I want to beat the best. I want to beat the best, because if you can beat the best, you are the best. So obviously those guys were the best today, and I felt like them getting involved in that wreck obviously impeded probably a greater finish than what we had.
And do you ever regret as much advice that you have given Chase Briscoe on road courses over the years? I know you guys are good friends, but.
Yeah, it's tough, because I feel like my approach as a teammate or a friend or whatever it may be, a co-driver, is that I have to have the confidence in myself that if you know everything that I know, I can still go do a better job of it. Now, with saying that, I'm not going to, you know, tell them what springs I'm running and what setup we got in and so on, but. You know, you got to have that confidence, and I took that approach at a very early age, and I think in some ways it's paid a lot of benefits, because it makes me push myself with very talented people that I'm racing against. Obviously he's come a long way in this stuff. You know, from the first time we ran together, I believe it was 2018, you know, he was seconds off the pace, and when we came here last year or this year with the GT4 cars, I mean, he was all of the same pace that I had. So you know, I talked to his crew chief Marco earlier this week, and we're laughing about that, because I really feel like the progression that I've made running the high line, running up against the wall, is equal to the same progression that he's made in road racing, and it's been fun to push ourselves in that regard, and I think that's what we're constantly doing. I feel like we can't get ourselves in the trap of ruining it for both of us, pushing ourselves that hard, because you know, obviously there's some emotion today, just for a stage win. So I feel like that needs to be reeled in, and on my end and his end, you know, I don't think there's any innocent parties there. I said in my MRN interview, and it's like getting an argument with your brother, or you know, he got to the PlayStation first or whatever, and you go yell at mom and, you know, ask her to pick a side. But at the end of the day, we both lose if we're not moving forward. You know, we've had the tie with Ford Performance for a while, and I've really tried to use that as a friendship. I mean, we went to lunch today before the race and just watched IndyCar qualifying, and you know, he and I have a good relationship. But you know, today was probably a bump in that road.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels on your way home.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our final question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Austin, you talked earlier about you feel like you got to get better with your head after today. How important is the mental aspect of it, of this? I mean, obviously, you can have the best frame of mind. If the car's not any good, you're not going to do anything. So where does the mental aspect fall into it in your mind?
It's everything. Racing is mental. You know, it's very mechanical. But it's very mental. You know, I don't think I really hurt my race, but I showed vulnerability. And as a race car driver, you can't show that. You can't show your weaknesses. You know, you gotta execute on your strengths and go back to the shop on your weaknesses. And, today I did something I probably hadn't done in a while, which was raise my voice on the radio. So there's some sort of pride that it's been a while since that's happened, but like I said, you get heated and you get excited, and you want it really, really bad. And I think that played into it today, and I'll be pretty open and honest about it, because I'm pretty open and honest guy. So everything I've done in NASCAR has been on the surface, and that's no exception. So like I said, I think it's a good reminder for me at this middle stage of the year that you know, you gotta keep locked down.
And I'm sure you've had many instances this season where would have been frustrated with something, with whatever happened on the track. And you, as you say, you've kind of controlled yourself. What was it about today? What was it about, I think you referenced on the radio, blocking in a braking zone? I think to a race fan or anybody in general, they'd say, isn't that part of racing? So why does that upset a competitor?
So blocking and blocking under brakes are two different things, and I'm pretty passionate about blocking under brakes. I mean, that's why there's blocking rules in other series, is because it's very dangerous. I haven't seen a replay, and I probably may have been a bit preemptive on my my complaints, because it's something that he did a lot at Indy and in the long brake zones, and I didn't really like it a lot, because what you're doing there is you're asking the car behind you to not hit you. You know, you're putting yourself in harm's way, and obviously it creates contact, and that was what I felt was the instance there. But like I said, I never saw a replay, and I probably could have been a bit more passive about it. But yeah, blocking on the brakes and blocking on the straight are two different things, because that's after you've committed to a brake zone, that's after you've committed to a line, and you've committed to the corner. And you know, if you're usually blocking someone under brakes, that means they're going faster than you, and you know, you're putting yourself in harm's way doing so. So hopefully we can learn from it. But I don't think that's the best way to approach at least halfway through the race. But it's aggressive, it's hard racing, and those playoff points mean a lot. So I'm not going to fault him for driving aggressive. But like I said, I think we could have given ourselves a couple favors and avoided some of the contact.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, Austin, thank you again for your time, and congrats on the win.
Cool. Thank you.